Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is Father's Day, so I would like to begin with a story about mothers. Desiring to teach her daughter how to save, the mother gave her daughter 2 quarters. 1 quarter was to be put into the bank, and the other could be spent. The quarter that was destined for saving was quickly inserted into the piggy bank. But the other one, what to do with the other one? That was the question. While the little girl was mulling over her decision, without thinking, she started to put the coin into her mouth. Honey, don't do that. Why? Well, because the quarter is dirty and you don't know who had it. Because it's probably covered with germs and you could choke. And it could kill you. In that short time, the mother came up with some pretty quick responses. She was quick on her feet. The little girl was impressed. And she asked, "Mommy, where did you learn all that stuff?" She replied with a smile, "Honey, all mommies know things like that. It's on the mommy test. If you don't know stuff like that, you flunk and you don't get to be a mommy." Unfazed, the little girl took 2 seconds before she asked the question, "And if you flunk the mommy test, then do you have to be a daddy?" Doesn't this just illustrate the low opinion that many people have about fathers? Commercials depict dads as being sofa-sitting, bear-swigging idiots. Sitcoms show them as being bumbling, bigoted bozos who are incapable of understanding wives, children, in-laws, and the complexities of family life. Father's Day cards are the same, I'm told. God set up the roles for men and women. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers. Marriage should be more. Families should be more. Fathers should be more. And Jesus Christ should be, needs to be, the single most important force in the physical and spiritual lives of mothers, fathers, children, and families. The point of today, the real purpose of Father's Day message, is to point to the Savior. In God's holy word, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." Good idea. And scripture continues, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." You see, the Bible sees Jesus as an example, the perfect example for all of us, including fathers. But scripture isn't done. It tells us how Jesus loved the church. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Christ's love, that's the divine role model of fathers, mothers, humanity. I'll ask, what would you lay your life down for? For whom would you die? Most parents, most fathers would say, "I'd lay my life down for my son or my daughter so that they could live." You could find a husband who would die for his wife or vice versa. But would you be willing to die for the truth or for your church or for your nation? Would you hand over your life for a pedophile to live another day, or a drug dealer, a prostitute? For a gossip who spreads lies and rumors? In short, would you die for someone like you? God did. Christ died for the ungodly, for all people of all times. Jesus Christ died for haters who were his enemies. He shed his holy blood on the cross to pay for the sins of everyone. Eternal freedom is not free. His eternal life takes away your eternal death. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and rose again for us. If you open up God's holy word and you look closely at the Savior, you look at everything he did, what would you find? Did Jesus really love this world? Did he really sacrifice and give himself for it? The gospel writers say there were times when the demands and the desires of the crowds that followed Jesus left him tired and drained. And during those times of exhaustion, do you know how the Savior reacted when someone approached him with a need? We might say, "Don't bother me now." We might get nasty and snarl, "I've got normal office hours, ask me then. Don't bother me on my day off." Jesus didn't do that. Jesus loved people. He gave himself for the people. They came first. Without exception, he dealt with their problems. He helped them. That is a Savior worth having. And his actions are an inspiration to all who see and hear. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus met all kinds of people. He came into contact with kings, a governor, a high priest, the top men of many communities. And he also met folks who were serious sinners, those who were sick, outcasts, rejected, despised, and of little account to the eyes of the world. Jesus had come to seek and save the lost. He had come to be a light to those who were in darkness. He had entered this world to be a physician for those who were sick in their souls. God loved those people and those folks that nobody else loved. Jesus gave himself for these people. They were the ones that needed him, and he answered their need. He taught their minds about the love of God. He healed their bodies. He restored their souls. He blessed their children. They came first. Without exception, he lifted up those who were of low degree. That is a Savior worth having. The New Testament tells us that Jesus, true man and true God, had the power of the Almighty. There was nothing beyond his ability. Jesus gave himself for the world and without exception put us first so that you might be forgiven of all your sins. Jesus resisted every temptation that Satan threw at him so that you might be given courage. He stood toe to toe with his critics and detractors without compromising or caving in. Falsely accused, unjustly judged, he did not use his power to lash out or to seek revenge to those who beat him, spit on him, struck him, lied about him, deserted him, and betrayed him. He used his power to carry your sins and my sins, everyone's sins, to the cross. And his powerful sacrifice paid the price that the law demanded. Jesus died to save you. His power conquered death and raised him from the dead. And now, by the Holy Spirit's power, all who believe in him are forgiven, strengthened, and saved. That is a man that we can praise and thank and worship. For Jesus, in his love for others, in his sacrifice for us, did what we cannot do. Look at Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, kept his word. He forgave sins. And if he said it, they were forgiven. If he healed the blind, the leper, and the lame, they were made well. If he said he was going to be crucified and rise on the third day, he did it. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. You can count on that. If he says something, if he says he is listening to your prayers, you can be sure it is so. That is a Savior worth having. On this Father's Day, I especially encourage you fathers to do all in your power to make sure your family knows this Savior worth having. Be inspired by the Savior who sacrificed himself gladly, totally, for those he loved. It's important that you do. Here's one statistic. If a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will become a regular church worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become church goers. In short, this study, done a few years ago, 2011, reveals that it's the religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance or absence from church of the children. If dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously. This confirms the essential role of father as spiritual leader. Fathers are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, modeling the love of the Father in their most important earthly relationship. Fathers are to care for their children as our Father in heaven cares for us. It is the Father who should instruct his children in the understanding of the world from a consciously and informed Christian worldview. It is the Father who is essential for sending his children forth with a biblical worldview of reality and faith in Jesus Christ that is rooted in solid understanding. You know, and during the colonial period of our country, men defined themselves by their level of community involvement and fatherhood. Marriage and fatherhood were seen as being among the highest aspirations in a man's life. Today, the highest aspirations of men seem to be career success and personal leisure. And against these, they seek to balance marriage and family. It is time for fathers to return to honorable manhood and reconsider their priorities and realign them with God's commands, decrees, and laws, teaching these to your children. Deuteronomy tells us, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. I know it's hard. Listen to this. For every 10 men in churches today, 10 are struggling to balance work and family. 9 will have children who leave the church. 5 will have a serious problem with pornography. 4 will get divorced, and only 1 will have a biblical worldview. Fathers, give yourself as Christ gave. Love as Christ loved. Let your wife Your children know that. Let your children see you read the Bible. Let them hear you pray. Let them walk with you in worship. God has given you children. He has given you a job. Share your Savior unselfishly, lovingly, sacrificially. Share the Savior with them. And have a happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.